Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about abide in the Word. And the text that we'll be looking at is the Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus here in this passage is talking about abiding in or continuing in or holding to the Word. And He tells us that if we do that, that there are three things that will occur. And I want to look this morning at each of those three things. First of all, then are you My disciples indeed. A disciple is an interesting word. What exactly is a disciple? Well, there are several things that are involved in being a disciple of anyone or anything. A disciple is, first of all, one who learns or is a student. And certainly no one can be thought of as being a disciple of Christ or a disciple of anyone else unless it was a person that wanted to learn what Christ or someone else had to say. A disciple is, first of all, one who is a student, one who learns. But there's a great deal more to being a disciple than simply learning. Many of us have studied many different things, many different writers, and become students of that particular writer, but not accepted what they said. For example, you might want to read Calvin's Institutes about the Christian religion. But you might read that to learn about Calvinism, but you don't really believe it. And so in no way are you you may be a student of Calvin, but in no way would you be said to be a disciple of his, because you're learning what he has to say, but you're not accepting it. To be a disciple of Christ means more than simply learning what Jesus had to say, but it means accepting that as being true, and then you go one step further if you're a disciple, and that is you live by it. It becomes the pattern, the code for your life. And so in this passage, Jesus is talking about the real disciples. And the real disciple, as he defines it, is the person who will hold to or continue in his Word. The one who would live by the Word. And we might just mention that that's the same thing as saying what a Christian is, because the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. That is, the name originally disciple, but then the name shifted to people being called Christians. The real disciple, or the real Christian, is the one who continues in the Word. And if you're not continuing to live your life and pattern it after the Word of God, then you may claim to be a Christian or a disciple, but you're not really, according to Jesus. But it's important as we look at this and talk about who is a real Christian or a real disciple, it's important to notice who Jesus is talking to. Verse 31 again, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." Now, belief or faith is very important in the Christian religion. And this particular gospel that we're looking in this morning, the Gospel of John, it is referred to as being the gospel of belief or of faith. Because in this particular gospel, as much as any other place in the Bible, there is an emphasis on the importance of faith. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. An emphasis on belief. In this same chapter, John chapter 8 in verse 24, Jesus said this, "I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." And John closes this book, or near the end of it, telling us that the things that are written in this book were written that you might believe. And of course, if you read through the Gospel of John, you know, I've just kind of hit a sample passage or two. Over and over again, John emphasizes that you have to believe. But unfortunately, some people have looked at that great emphasis on faith or belief as presented in this gospel. and have concluded that you can be saved by faith alone. Just believe. That's all. Just believe. And so it's very important to notice what Jesus says in this passage if you're going to really understand what He meant by believing. Because here He's talking to, as it says very plainly, to Jews which believed on Him. These are believers. Jesus is talking to those who actually believed on Him. But it is to them that He said, if you want to be a real Christian, a real disciple, then belief alone is not enough. You must continue in My Word. It is necessary that we continue in the Word if we're going to be a real disciple of Jesus. Faith alone will not do it. I want to just mention some examples or two of some areas in which we need to continue in the Word, which I think are very relevant for today. We need to continue in the Word simply on the plan of salvation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, a person who is going to continue in the Word is a person who will do that. And then when he's teaching on the subject of salvation, that's what he will teach. Believe and be baptized. In another passage in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. Very, very plain, very simple. And so if a person continues in the Word, when they become a Christian, they will become a Christian in that way. And when they're talking to other people about how they are to become a Christian, then they will tell them those things which we just quoted from the Scriptures. That's holding to the Word. Now, I emphasize that because we live in a world in which there are many people, with regard to the plan of salvation, do not hold to the Word. And perhaps the most popular doctrine in the religious world today about how to be saved, in contrast with holding to the Word, is to pray the sinner's prayer. And several people have called to my attention that I mention this a lot, and I intend to mention this a lot. Repetition is the secret of learning, and I want everybody to know this. In fact, I want it to be so that every time you flip on your television set and listen to somebody say, pray the sinner's prayer, or every time you look at a religious book or pick up a pamphlet, and it says something of the nature, just say, Lord, I've sinned, I commit my life, and I ask you to be, every time you see that, I want you to think of me. And what I'm saying about the sinner's prayer. Want that to, because it's very important. To be a real disciple, you have to hold to the Word with regard to worship. A lot of changes are occurring in the way people worship God today. And not all change is bad. Obviously, there are some new songs that have been written in recent years that are great songs. There's some changes of that nature that occur, and those things are good. But we need to remember as we think about the worship that there's some things that don't change. Some changes can be made, but you have to make sure that you continue to abide in the Word. Else, you're not a real follower or disciple of Christ. And then also I wanted to mention morals. Not so much in the church, but in the world today, we see a great change in moral standards. Things that our society, everybody in our society practically, a few years back believed to be evil, are acceptable today. So whether you're talking about the plan of salvation, how we worship God, or the moral standards by which we live, Jesus is teaching here that just believing on Him is not enough. The real disciple is the one that in all those areas and any other area you can think of, the real disciple is the one who continues in or abides in the Word. And we need to spend our lives reading and studying this Word in order that we might understand it and then make it a part of our life and our way of living. Continue in the Word. That's the only way to be a real disciple. But then the second thing that I want to notice that Jesus says that will occur if you abide in the Word. Verse 32, the first part of the verse. And ye shall know the truth. The truth is in the Word. Jesus said in His prayer to God in John 17, He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Word of God is truth. One of the greatest passages on this about the truth being in the Word is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And this is a familiar passage to us, but I want to read it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we usually read this passage, of course, talking about the Bible is inspired, and that's true, but the part I want us to notice is that it is complete. It is profitable, he says, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. It will completely furnish the man of God with everything that he needs. Now, this, of course, does not mean that we learn to say the truths of science or the truths of medicine or that sort of thing from the Bible. But in religion and in morals and in how to live, this passage is saying that everything that you need to know is right here in this book. There is nothing outside this book that is worthwhile unless it agrees with this book. Everything that you need in morals and religion is found in the Word of God. Now, in contrast with that, I'd like to just suggest some places that we do not find truth. You will not find truth in human learning, unless, of course, it agrees with the Bible. And we can think of philosophy, that's one a field of human learning. And we're actually warned in the Bible to beware of philosophy and vain deceit, because the philosophies of men will lead one away from God in many cases. A very dominant philosophy in our world today, and has been for some time, is that of the philosophy of evolution. And I'm not talking about biological evolution, but I'm talking about the evolution that religion has just evolved, that morals have just evolved. And that philosophy, of course, suggests that we're to keep evolving, keep changing our religion and our morals. That's a philosophy and a vain deceit. You won't learn the truth by looking in philosophy. Also, the truth is not learned in science. Now, I'm talking about moral and religious truth. Of course, there's a lot of things that you can learn in science. In fact, science is a good thing in its proper place. And I've said this before, and sometime I want somebody to call me on this and try to suggest that this is not true. Everything that is right is authorized in the Scripture. Everything, right down to sitting down and eating dinner, everything is authorized in Scripture. Well, science is too. It's in the first chapter of Genesis, where man was told to multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That's what science do. We're trying to take control of this physical world of ours. It took thousands of years before we were able to split the atom and use atomic energy. But when man did that, he was simply furthering God's command to subdue the earth. And so, science is a good thing. But you will not learn about religious and moral truths through science. The truth there, on those subjects, are found in the Word of God. Another place that you will not find truth is in your inner self. And this is very important in our day and age. The New Age religions, as well as some others, emphasize the idea that truth is inside a person. And if you want to really know the truth, then what you have to do is kind of get the external world out and just look in, because all truth is found right inside you. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that the truth is not found inside of man, but it is found inside the Word of God. And as we continue in and hold to God's Word, then we can know the truth. Truth is not found in ancient or modern religious practices. And when I decided to talk about this, I thought, well, I'd talk about truth is not found in ancient practices. And now I thought I'd talk about truth is not found in modern or contemporary practices. And then it occurred to me that that's not the proper way to say it. You're supposed to put the two together, because there is no difference. And that's something that people seem, we sometimes seem hard to get. the new things, the contemporary things, are not new things. They're just old things that people are doing again. And just about everything that you can find, every strange and odd thing even that you can find that's being done in the religious world today has been done before, been done over and over again through the centuries. Done for a while, and then it became old, it was discarded, and they looked for some new thing. And so in religion, it's like Solomon said, concerning everything, there's nothing new under the sun. And so I put the ancient and the modern practices together. You don't learn the truth by looking at what the ancients did or what the moderns are doing. You learn the truth in religion, in morals, in worship. You learn the truth by abiding in the Word. And then there's a third and a final thing that is the result of continuing in the Word. He says, not only and you shall know the truth, but he says, and the truth shall make you free. And this is the sort of thing that Charlie was emphasizing in the songs that he selected this morning. The truth shall make you free. Sin brings man into bondage. Jesus goes ahead and makes this point in the next two verses. And let me just read those two verses, verse 33 and 34. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave or servant of sin. And Jesus is just teaching that when you sin, you become sin's slave. You're in bondage. But it's the truth. It's Christianity that can set you free. If you're not a Christian, think about your own life. It might be good just to think about some particular sin in your life that kind of has its hooks in you, control over you. You're in bondage to sin. But if you become a Christian, then you can be freed from sin. Becoming a Christian and freedom from sin means that you're freedom from the guilt of sin. God no longer counts you guilty of that sin. It also means that you'll be freed from the penalty of that sin. That is the eternal destruction because of that sin. But it also means a freedom from the practice of sin. And that's a very important part of it. You're freed from sin in the sense that you no longer practice that sin, but you began to live right. You become a Christian by believing, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of sins.